and welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's draw against FC Edinburgh, preview this Saturday's trip to Montrose, and who's been your star performer this campaign so far. Yes, welcome along to this spooky edition of the Blue Toon Podcast. I am Colin Byers, and with me, as ever, resisting the temptation to go guising, is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome. How are we this week?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks, Colin. Yourself?
Not too bad. I'm saying guising. Is it guising, or is it trick-or-treating, or how is it we say these days?
I'm not sure about which one was being referred to as the spooky one.
Draw your own conclusions.
Because it was audio and YouTube.
I just realised that. I no idea what we did. So yes, we are in the end of a really busy October. We had six games this month, and we're heading into another tricky period, which we'll come on to. Earlier on last week, there wasn't much news coming out of the club at all last week in terms of what's been happening. So last week, the SPFL Twitter, and I think the Facebook page as well, put out a wee thing asking what were your player of the year so far, signing the season so far, etc. So we put that out to you guys to see. Just to get a bit of the conversation going. Before we go into what we've received, Martin, what's been your responses to those? So you've got your player of the year so far, your signing of the season, your moment of the season, and it's also got prediction of where we're going to finish in the league. Unsurprisingly, a lot of folk didn't even bother with the last bit. So give me your player of the year so far, your signing, and your moment of the season so far.
There's not much choices, is there? Let's be honest. I'm being brutally honest. Signing of the season.
I think
there's been a fair few signings.
There's been a fair few signings to pick for, but what I will say is maybe if we'd asked this question maybe 3-4 weeks ago, it may be even more difficult to kind of get narrowed down who has been sort of the maybe even player of the season so far.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably say I don't have a standout candidate. I think when you're sitting bottom of the table, to have a standout candidate would be sort of ill-judged to say. But I certainly think that there's players that are now starting to perform better than they maybe were at the start of the season. They're maybe just settling down into a role or maybe a couple of games that, you know, they're playing consistently. So I wouldn't say there's a standout player or like a sign in the season so far, in my opinion, but I certainly think that the performances are maybe slowly just starting to get there. But I think there is players that are improving week on week, and that can only be a good thing.
I think consistency is a key thing. Maybe Jack Newman, if he'd still been here, we might have been talking about him being one of the players of the season. Something that we've mentioned a few times in the last couple of seasons, how good goalkeeping situation we've had. You know, we had Brett Long last season. We might have struggled a wee bit last season, but he was producing good saves a year before. We had Lenny Wilson towards the end of the season, and Josh Ray as well. But in terms of consistency, you know, we've spoken about, you know, Jason Brown being fairly consistent. You can't what you're going to get for him. Jack Brown as well has been particularly consistent, using a couple of different roles as well. Danny Strachan is another one who's going to get mentioned a few times in this one in particular as well, after his performance on Saturday, has been fairly consistent. And perhaps even somebody like, or before he got injured, Max Gillis might have been up there as well.
Yeah, aye. Max, was it two goals in three games he got for right back, and then was out injured and the concussion. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, there's players that are now slowly coming onto a game. As you said, we've been blessed over the years with goalkeepers. Maybe ironic that maybe Tom Ritchie didn't have one of his better games on Saturday. But, like I said, there is players that are starting to come into a game, and he's just trying to maintain that consistency levels.
So the ones that did come in then, Keith Leslie, he went for Jason Brown as the player of the season so far. He's unsurprisingly gone for Danny Strachan as the signing of the season so far. And his moment of the season has been O'Keefe's goals against Kelty.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The arguments there.
Neil Thompson, best moment so far has been the comeback against Dunfermline, which I think will probably rank quite high so far.
Yeah.
Blue Toon fans, they just went with Julien Carré as player of the season, signing of the season as well. And the moment of the season so far they've picked down is any of Jack Newman's wonder saves. Kind of touching on for it, and we've got Jack Brown being player of the season, Max Gillis signing of the season, and O'Keefe's second goal against Kelty Hearts. And prediction is 10th, and that's for Jason Argo, who's been, I don't know, been pessimistic, optimistic, been 10th.
Well, and based on what we've seen so far this season, it's a prediction that you can't argue against, really, is it? Based on what you've seen right up until Saturday.
Aye, and that was, well, as I say, that was obviously last week. That was after the 2-0 defeat to Alloa. I think maybe there's a bit more optimism after Saturday's performance.
Yeah, I think there would be. Be interesting to see if that was still his thoughts and opinion that would still be 10th. I mean, one performance doesn't change your whole outlook in a season, but I certainly think a lot of folk left happier on Saturday for Ballymore than they have done for the last 4 or 5 months.
I certainly think if you arrived at the stadium on Saturday and you thought, oh, we're going to get a point, I think you would have sort of ripped the hand off for that one. So in the end, it did finish 1-1. Do you think overall was that a decent result? Is it perhaps maybe what we spoke about last week? Maybe a missed opportunity and not capitalising on the fact that we did take the lead.
Probably a bit of both, to be honest. I think I'm one of them that was turning up to the game. I said last week I thought if Edinburgh started the game well and opened up, then we could be in for a really rough afternoon. But I think, had you said to me at 3 o'clock you'll get a point for the game, I'd have taken it, but coming away there at 10-5 was actually a bit disappointed because I thought it was our better performance of the season, potentially the best performance we've had this season, and it just changed on the red card, and obviously Edinburgh got back into it and got a point out of it. But if you'd said a point before the game, I'd have taken it, but I am disappointed from the left that it was only a point.
It does stop that run of 4 defeats in a row, and obviously it stops the run of not scoring as well. So there is that kind of side to it. So, well, that is an improvement. The other side to look at it, you know, if you're being glass half full, you'll say, well, yeah, it's an improvement. It's a point. It's a goal. If you're glass half empty, you might be thinking, well, it's now 6 without a win. It's difficult to kind of gauge whether or not Saturday's result maybe was a good result or if it wasn't.
I think based on where Edinburgh are on the table, I think it is a good result. Like I said, I don't think had Julien Carré gotten sent off, I don't think we would have drawn the game. I think we would have probably won it. I can, you know, it's all ifs and buts, but I think we would have held out for it and maybe even got a second. But based on where Edinburgh are on the table, obviously we played well for 80 minutes doing there last month, or it might have been the start of this month actually. But obviously, in the end, we got beat 2-0. So I think no, a point. It's a good platform to build on, but it sort of is redundant if you didn't follow up with a positive result next week as well.
And I think the fact that Edinburgh didn't really impress me too much in either game that we've played against them so far, particularly on Saturday, they look sort of toothless up front. I think they only had the 2 shots on goal, and obviously one of them being the goal which came for Tom Ritchie's mistake. But you sort of look at it and you think, well, had we maybe been a bit more optimistic and maybe been a bit more forward thinking, maybe we could have taken the game to them a little bit and capitalised on that 1-0 lead and try and go and kill off the game. But I think this is where we're lacking a natural forward, we're lacking a natural striker that can maybe just take the game to them a little bit.
I think the weird thing about Saturday is when we're 1-0 up, Jim's in a difficult position of do you stick or do you twist? Mm. So you go 1-0 up and you try and go for the jugular and get a second, and almost the way the game was going, okay, 2-0's never a scoreline that's game over, but the way the game was going 2-0, you'd have thought it would have been. It's almost one of them weird things where you do nothing and you hope for the best, because you don't want to put an extra man forward and then open yourself up, but you don't want to start sitting back too deep with 20 minutes still to go. It's one of them, you sort of left it to try and play out. The two yellow cards in quick succession didn't help, but I can sort of see why Jim didn't. He's sort of like in between, didn't care whether it's stick or twist.
I think it's maybe kind of touching off it we spoke about last week in terms of, is he happy with a point? Is he setting up just to not lose the game? And having gone 1-0 up is almost like a bonus. Well, we're only going to get at worst, we're going to get away with a point here. But like many of us leaving that stadium, as you said, you kind of think to yourself, well, that's a potential 2 points drop there.
When I looked at his team, I thought it was a team that was set up need to get beat. And almost accept a draw. But from the game started, the way they played, maybe caught Edinburgh a wee bit on the, I wouldn't say on the hop or surprise, but like you said, I wasn't overly impressed with them either. I didn't think they did anything spectacular. So again, it's maybe frustration that we hadn't won the game, but a month ago we might have lost that, a bit like the Queen's game, we might have lost it by 3-4 goals. So that's slow signs of progress and things maybe starting, but like I said last week, it's maybe a couple of weeks too late.
You mentioned the selection then. There were two changes. David Wilson and O'Keefe dropped down to the bench. Ryan Strachan and come in, and we had a trialist start, which obviously was a topic of conversation in the bar beforehand, because there was a few folk running about us, and you could hear them going, why are we bringing in a trialist at this stage of the season? I mean, surely Christ, we've got enough players, etc, etc. I think Ryan Strachan was always going to start. I think David Wilson maybe just considered himself a little unlucky that he was then the starting lineup again on Saturday.
Yeah, it's weird. I think he's been a wee bit unfortunate, again, injuries and things like that kind of helped him, but didn't think he did too much the week before to warrant being dropped. But then, obviously, Ryan's an experienced player, a good player. And also Jim brought him in thinking he could do a job. I agree with some of the comments that were in the bar before a trialist. I've said a few times now, I don't think adding more and more players is the right way forward. Having said that, the trialist was good and was named Sponsors Man of the Match. So, maybe not a bad thing, but yeah, I can see why there's a wee bit of confusion with people thinking, well, why have we got a trialist, end October?
When you look at the team sheet, you sort of see the team going through, you say, well, that's the five defenders. You look at the midfield, okay, that's probably going to be the midfield there. And obviously, the only thing we can about trialist is, that's it, trialist is wearing number 29, that's it. So we kind of thought, well, that must be some kind of forward. It's playing for us. When Lee Griffiths is obviously looking for a club. It might have been him. You never know. Obviously, that didn't sort of a pan out a little bit. So it was a bit of a surprise. It was another midfielder.
Yeah. I've typed up the team sheets done well because they've managed to fox this. Because I, like you, I thought it was a striker. We looked at the team and thought, right, that's how we think they're going to set up. I was surprised it's a midfielder. I still think we are lacking a striker of quality, but are you going to get a striker of quality that we're looking for, now at the end of October? Unlikely. But I thought the trialist that did come in, he did well, and as I said, he was voted man of the match. And I certainly think if he was to sign, I don't think it would be a bad signing.
Before we sort of get into the game, one other point to kind of make about the team line and the team sheet, obviously we noticed that there wasn't a full bench. There was one space it was empty, but I think we did mention it on Saturday between the two of us, and we sort of mentioned it on our social media, certainly on Twitter, that there was a couple of glaring names that were missing. We knew that Ola was injured, Hamish Rich is obviously still injured, Paul Dixon, Robbie McGale and Andy McDonald were all injured, and they were not going to be in the squad. But there was no mention of Prince, no mention of Cody McLeod or Ramez Hefsala or even Christian Kazuka. Their names just weren't mentioned in the pre-match on the website before the game. No reason that there's just the names just seem to have kind of disappeared off the face of the planet for some reason. But yet we still had a space on the bench. Obviously, we have got no idea as to if it's happening. Maybe they were injured. Maybe it's just There are maybe other reasons, but you would think that if they are available, you know, get the bench filled as much as you can.
Yeah, I mean, we're led to believe that one of them at least was available for selection, but for one reason or another wasn't chosen. There could be other reasons. I find it strange that, you know, it's one of them things. Jim doesn't like to use that many subs anyway, but I still think that when you've got players that are seemingly available for selection but nae picked, you know, that can only lead to interpretation. Obviously, Jim made a comment a couple of weeks back that there may be players leaving in January. But again, these players are still picking up, you know, a wage, so you'd like to think that they're being told that they're potentially leaving in down tools. I wouldn't have liked to have thought that was the case. But yeah, surprising if there is, you know, at least one player that was available for the bench to make up the numbers but wasn't chosen.
It just seems strange that you know, there was just no mention of these names at all in the pre-match. I mean, even just if they said, oh, they're injured and they're not going to be available, fair enough. But it didn't seem to be that they even travelled with the rest of the squad either. We did see Hamish and Andy prior to the game, but the other guys, we didn't see them. So it's a situation we might just need to keep an eye and see what happens for the next few weeks.
Yeah, it was nice to get the update that Hamish Ritchie's still going to be out until at least April. So that seems to be a running update that we're getting, but no update on Prince and Hivsala and the likes. So yeah, strange one.
So we mentioned the trial list then. We did establish that his name was Florian Hotley. Obviously, he was former Dundee United midfielder. As you said, he came in, did really well, seemed to impress everybody in the stadium that day, which obviously begs the question as to why he hasn't got a club already.
Yeah. Aye, good performance. Your detective skills managed to figure it out pretty quick. You had a number on the back of his jersey, his height and hair colour, and you were able to figure it out within 5 minutes. So that was impressive work, I'll admit. Yeah, he came in, did really well, looked very comfortable on the ball. Nothing seemed to faze him. He seems to be a sort of player that'll carry the ball as well. I think we've really got that in the team. That was sort of the thing that Scott Brown was good at last season, pick up the ball deep and driving on. We didn't hear that this season. So no, a good performance, and if he was available to sign on the right sort of deal, I'd certainly be for it.
So he joined Faye Rochdale 2 years ago on a two-year deal. Obviously that deal is now over and was released in the summer. Had a loan spell at Forfar. He played, I think, about 13 games for Dundee United in their first team, so he's got Premiership experience. So, and we certainly know that he can play in midfield. He certainly can carry the ball, as you said, and was taking the set pieces as well, which I don't know if they were any better than what we had previously, but certainly in terms of, you know, a midfield player, he certainly seems to have all the tools that not only can certainly play at this level, can obviously play at a higher level as well.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's still around. I mean, the fact that his performance and he hasn't played for a wee while and he's come in trial and done that. Yeah, like I said, if it was a signing that was possible to do, I certainly wouldn't be against it. And it's something different to what we've got with a few midfielders that are quite similar, but no, he seems to bring something different. Seems natural, like comfortable on both feet, naturally left-footed, it seems as well. So, no, yeah, a good performance.
It did seem to be, I mean, the game as a whole is not going to go down as a classic. It's not going to be one of those games that we'll be remembering at the end of the season in terms of a performance or anything like that. I did feel as though, certainly first half, it was quite even in terms of the amount of possession. Maybe we've edged it slightly in terms of the chances. Edinburgh maybe having the better chance hitting the post at the other end, I should say.
Yeah, they had the better chances. There was a corner as well that was whipped in under the bar. It came close, but yeah, I think balance of play maybe slightly shaded it, ever so slightly, but I think the quality of the chances was probably in Edinburgh's favour.
And we sort of talk about how good our goalkeeper has been this season, or our two goalkeepers have been this season. I mean, having Robbie Much in goal for Edinburgh this season has obviously been a hell of a signing for them, and he was obviously proving his worth, certainly first half. I think Hottie had a couple of efforts on goal as well. So, I mean, he was fairly kept busy, certainly the first period anyway.
Yeah, he was made to work, and that's something we've been, you know, crying out for a couple of weeks now, somebody just to try and, you know, hey, a pop shot, back to my phrase, if you did buy a lottery ticket, you're going to get a win. But, you know, you've got to take the shots, try and get them on target, anything can happen. And it's what we've been looking for, maybe a ricochet or something just to happen. So, no, I think the general performance, you know, I think a lot of people, as I said, left Balmour are a lot happier, but obviously at the same time, slightly disappointed with the result.
You look at the shots, we had 12 shots on goal, 4 on target, compared to Edinburgh's 6 and then 2 on target. And as I said earlier, obviously their 2-1 resulted in the goal. It's a lot more shots than what we've had previously in other games. It's just maybe, you know, 12 on, but only 4 on target, which obviously is 1 in 3. Maybe that's something, again, as you said, just to maybe build on and try and, you know, can get that conversion rate to maybe, say, 50% in terms of the shots on goals to fit with Fed overall.
Yeah, well, I mean, Fed seems to me you're missing a natural goal scorer. Mm. Somebody who's willing to get shots on target, you know, and get them on target. That's a key thing. But, you know, it's a step in the right direction. As you said, it's probably the most shots we've had our season in a game. So, yeah, things are just slowly going the right way.
I mean, you'll be no surprise to hear, but we're massively behind everybody else in terms of shots overall for the season. I mean, we've had 86 so far in the league. Compare that to Falkirk, who have the most. They've had 182. So we're almost 100 shots behind, which, you know, if you break it down as an average, you know, we're doing like 6.5 per game. They've got 14 per game. And that's a big difference. But I think what you'll find is that will slowly creep up, because I think in the last couple of games, that shots on goal ratios has gone up slightly compared to previous games where we were struggling to even get one shot away.
Yeah, I think we were a lot more on the front foot on Saturday, and I don't think that's a coincidence that we've then got more shots on target, and the chances were better chances. Kind of weren't just 40 yards out and you're taking a long range effort. They've tried. It was slow, like I said, slowly coming together, but you're missing that natural goal scorer up front. And we've spoken about it a few times in the last couple of weeks. When Russell McLean comes back, yes, it'll be a bonus. It's not going to be the magic fix that sorts everything out, but you're hoping that it'd just be that small link that might just, you know, bring things into play and work a bit better.
So we didn't have a natural goal scorer up front, but we did have Jack Brown, and he kind of replaced Conor O'Keefe, who had been deemed that role maybe to the same level as he did against Kelty, but he had Jack Brown had a bit of help for Ryan Dow, who was playing that sort of number 10 role, and Jack being Jack, you know, gives it his all. I mean, he was up against Liam Fontaine, who you wouldn't be surprised to know Jack didn't win any headers at all in that game. But, you know, he did well, and I think because of his effort alone, he certainly deserved his goal.
Yeah, bit of a mismatch, shall we say, which why a wee bit strange it would seem to in the first 10 minutes, trying to keep lumping up to him. I think they forgot that Russell was not front. It was a couple of more weeks before he's back. But yeah, Jack he's one of them players that he'll give you a solid 7, 8 out of 10, regardless of what position he's playing in. You know, he's played quite a few positions since he's come into the club, and he just seems to go on with it. A good performance. Like you said, he's up against Liam Fontaine, a big man, a big unit to come up against. Even Ryan Dow, you know, he's not going to win anything against him either. So no, I was surprised that was the two that was chosen for the one up top, one slightly in behind. But they did well, to be fair to them.
And it was that two, it combined for the goal. Dow with a lovely wee slip ball through for Jack, and he showed the composure, need to just, you know, smash it, but, you know, place it past the keeper.
Yeah, good finish. Easy to blast it, you know, wide. They get room it. Good finish, and like you said, he deserved it for the work he was putting in throughout the game.
We kind of touched on it earlier on, but I guess it's the sort of turning point in the game was the two bookings for Julian Carey within a space of 3-4 minutes. First one, no doubts about it. It definitely is a booking for what would you call a professional foul, really. He's the man's got away from him and he's pulled him back. So, no question marks over that one.
No, like you said, professional foul. He knew what he was doing. He lost his man, just pulled him back. To be fair, there's a challenge that can't be, what, 5-10 minutes later for Edinburgh that a referee punished in the same way. So he was consistent with his decision. Whether you know people liked it or not, that the referee deemed both of them to be a yellow card, with crying out for consistency for a long time now. So yeah, no question marks over that.
And sort of the between the sort of 3-4 of us watching the game on Saturday, once the car had gotten booked, we all come to the conclusion, right, let's get him off, get him subbed off, because we thought that was going to happen last week. He sort of got a wild with it against Alloway, where he wasn't sent off. But not only did he obviously pick up a second yellow, but it was so quick for his first team as well.
Yeah, probably a little bit of naivety. It's one of them challenges that the second team, that when you've just been booked, like you said, 3-4 minutes beforehand, you cannot make, because you're in the referee's mind. He canes you on a booking. Had it been 10 minutes later, the referee might have given you a warning, said that's your last one, on him or you're off. So yeah, probably he needs to be a little bit smarter. On the flip side, we mentioned it on Saturday between the four of us, like you said, and we said, right, we need to get him off. That's when Jim and Davies got to think as well, right, we got away with it last week, we're 1-0 up in the game, we're doing well, nothing's really bothering us, let's get him off because he's just been booked. A bit of blame on both parties, I would say, but him for making the challenge so quick. I mean, I kind of blame the referee, it's a yellow card. Also, we could maybe have gotten him off the park a little bit quicker than, you know, what he got himself sent off with.
It that just ends and adds a little bit more pressure. You know, we are 1-0 up. We seem to be doing well. But, you know, we're scrambling for points. We're scrambling for wins. We just need something to go our way. And that just adds an added pressure that we didn't need at that stage.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we can how fragile our defence is. You've gone from being 1-0 up and doing well in the game to potentially thinking, you know, there's still 20 minutes to go in this game. We could actually end up losing it. So fragile was our defence. So, yeah, frustrating that he got sent off, and I don't think he can hear any complaints with either booking, to be honest.
I just wonder as well if that then prompted Andy McCarthy to come on a little bit quicker than maybe he was planning to. Maybe that was going to be the change anyway. Maybe he was going to bring off Carey at some point and bring on McCarthy, but McCarthy did come on with about 20 minutes to go. Was obviously good to see him back, and not only just see him back in the squad, but seeing him back on the pitch as well.
Yeah, good to see him pick up his standard yellow card as well. Didn't go unnoticed, did it?
it was a strong yellow as well, I have to say.
Aye, exactly. Yeah, it was good to see Andy back in the pitch. I don't think he'd have gone 20 minutes if we'd still been 11 men. I generally think it would have been our last 10 minutes sort of sub, just slowly ease him back in. But he didn't look like a player that had been injured, to be fair to him. Came straight back in, did well, put in a challenge or two. And yeah, a player Andy's quality coming back can never be a bad thing.
And it was interesting to hear Jim after the game almost saying that once McCarthy is fully fit, he starts every game. It's a big boost for us, and also we can how talented he is. It just means that, you know, who then drops out, because obviously we've seen how well Julian Carey has been playing. Obviously he's got to be suspended for the next game. You know, Jack Brown's been playing particularly well. Maybe he continues on up front. Ryan Dow's been doing okay. You know, Florin Hottie, if he signs, you know, does he carry on? So there's going to be a lot of maybe selection headaches for the manager in the next kind of few weeks until, you know, he does sort of decide what he's going to be doing in January.
Yeah, a lot of competition for places, and it's one of them things where you can, if you're not playing well or you've had a poor first half, you could easily be taken off, or you could be dropped, or, you know, naving in the squad for the next couple of weeks if you're not going to maintain that level. So, yeah, I'm not surprised in a sense that Jim's come out and said that if Andy's fit, he plays every week. I think it's a no-brainer. He's one of the better players at the club, and like I said, a player of his quality being the squad will never be a bad thing.
The equaliser then from Edinburgh, which came about 2-3 minutes after Andy had come on, it goes down as an error for the keeper, for Tom Ritchie. I think anybody can sort of deny that. Does that come from inexperience? Just so keen to get his first clean sheet that he's coming for a cross that he really doesn't need to come for.
Oh, he was never getting that cross. Nay in the month of Sundays was he getting that. And it's there was a corner in the first half that Edinburgh whipped under the bar. He'd come for it, sort of flapped at it, and it went out. I don't think it was one of his better games, if I'm being honest, with his commanding of his area and just dealing with general crosses. It is an error. He'll learn from it. It's one of them things with young goalkeepers and young defenders. You tend to find that when a mistake's made, they'll be punished for it. But I just think, he's got a good view of the flight of the ball coming in as well. I'm not sure what his thought process was, but I don't think he was ever going to be getting to it, to be honest.
Because if he just stays on his line or stays in his 6-yard box, we've got plenty of folk there to deal with it. Jason was there. Ryan Starkin was close to it as well. Enoch would have been there as well. In fact, Enoch was on the line trying to stop the shot for handling coming in. So we just have to put that down to inexperience, and hopefully he does go on to learn it. As you said, there was a couple of other occasions where crosses were going going through his hands. So it maybe wasn't his best game. We've got away with it because we've got a point, but because of that error, maybe we look at it and say, well, that's where the 2 points has been dropped.
Yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing, but had he not come for it, there's an argument to say the player wouldn't have seen the shot from where he did. Because also you said Enid was on the line, Ryan Strack and Jason Brown was there as well. So, yeah, it's frustrating the way it came about. And I'm sure Tom will learn from it, it'll be looked at in training, but it's just one of them. I never felt he was going to be winning it, and he has travelled a fair distance to try and go for the ball. It's one of them. He's probably thought, I've started coming for it now, I've got to follow it through. It'd have been worse had he tried to come for it then stopped and tried to retreat. So you put it down to a goalkeeping error, but one that hopefully you'll learn from.
And after that, although Edinburgh had an extra man, you felt as though that they weren't really going to trouble us too much, and I think as I was kind of saying for earlier on, they didn't really impress me too much for being a team who's sitting second in the league at that time. And I think if Hothead maybe had a shooting boots on, he maybe will have scored second half as well. But there was plenty there for us to sort of say, well, that's an improvement. But there's just that nagging thing of the last two home games now, we've only picked up 1 point from, a game against Salah where we were lost 2-0. Some of us had said last week that was maybe a missed opportunity. We could have picked up maybe 3 points out of the game against Edinburgh as well. So, having maybe potentially picked up 4, which I think would have been a really good result for the two home games, we've only picked up the one.
Yeah, that's probably the frustrating thing, because hey, we are in the position we're in the league table, and there's only so many times you can say it's been a missed opportunity before you start thinking, right, we're in real danger. A win would have been brilliant on Saturday, but it is a point against a team that is sitting, second in the table. If you said that 5-3, I think a lot of people would have bitten your hand off for it, like you said earlier on. So you've got to look at the positive and try and think, well, right, okay, we've now got that point. We've played well in the game. It's building on it going forward.
And as I said, maybe the home games is where we try and pick up the points. It's got to be difficult in the matter of fit, but in previous seasons, as we said before, that's where we're points have come from. That's where our big results have come from. So, back-to-back home games in a busy month like that, and we've picked up 1 point, maybe we're maybe going to look back at that at the end of the season. Well, that's where we could have gotten more points.
Yeah, I get what you're saying about the home form. I think we're away form's got to improve now as well, because we're now in a position where I don't think home form alone is going to, you know, try and get us to eighth position. I mean, if you'll make that your benchmark, I think you're going to have to try now and go away to teams like Alloa, Kelty, Clyde, you know, and pick up wins. The draws might not be good enough. The Airdrie as well. I mean, you know, a full-time team away from home is never easy, but that's now the sort of position you're looking at thinking we might have to go there now and win. That's going to be the difficult thing, but the home form, like you said, 1 point out of the two games, it's not great. But, you know, the positive is we're maybe slowly going in the right direction. And I say slowly because it has been, you know, you're now into just the way you go into November and, you know, you're still speaking about the points that we've got.
Okay, so quickly go through some of your comments then. Will Roberts, we had a good game. Everyone put in a shift. If we perform like that more consistently, we have a hope of staying up. Looking forward to Montrose game, which maybe the first time anybody said we're looking forward to the next game. Keith Leslie, robbed. Maybe slight. I don't know if we were robbed because really the equaliser came from a mistake. If it had been, you know, a poor refereeing decision or something like that, you could maybe said, "Aye, we were robbed."
Yeah, robbed. Potentially slightly harsh. I mean, they had a good chance in the first half where keeper slapped it across as well, plus the goalkeeper mistake. Yeah, I mean, I think had we gotten the 3 points, I don't think it would have been unjust, unless that's what he's meaning, robbed in that sense. But I think Edinburgh, you know, they got a point and they were probably, they'd have deserved a point, I would have thought.
Frank Kelly said that it was the best we've played in ages, strong midfield performance, and I think that's a building block for us. You know, we seem to have a strong five at the back now. We seem to now have a strong midfield. So, you know, in terms of the team, it is getting better and it seems to be getting stronger.
Yeah, it was a good midfield performance by a few players, to be fair. Like you said, the back five plus the midfield, again, yeah, it's maybe taking shape. But again, I go back to, like, you're missing that key striker up front.
Neil Thompson, good performance today, deserved all 3 points. Good to see Jack Brown getting his award for his efforts. Around us, it was thought that Carey might have been subbed after his first card, but it was too late, which exactly what we were saying. So good to see that it's not just us, it was thinking that as well.
Yeah, I mean, there might have been a mindset of Jim that they were going to make the substitution, but obviously things just didn't happen. The click of your fingers, they need to get a couple of minutes of a warm-up as well, get their kit ready and whatever. But yeah, maybe it just happened a wee bit too quick, the red card.
Andrew Jones, much improved. Glad to see some confidence in passing the ball around. Luis Cardo, better team performance by Miles. Players starting to settle down and understand how each other play is really obvious. And I think that comes down to the fact that we're training together two times a week now as well, which seems to be reaping the rewards of that as well.
Yeah, I that comment's bang on. I think we're starting to see players now settling into a role. There seems to be a better understanding of where they're at in the pitch, you know, making runs or dropping deep, getting the ball, knowing where a player might be in a certain area. So, yeah, it was a good performance, and it's just unfortunate we didn't get the win from it as well.
Jack McLean giving us the glass half full comment here. Got a point better than a loss.
Yeah, can't argue with that. It's a point that's better than a loss. But it's not as good as 3 points.
No.
But had somebody had said to you last Sunday, after the Alloa game, you'll get a point for Edinburgh, I'm sure the majority of people would have taken it.
Yeah. And after Edinburgh's result last week as well, you certainly would have, would have taken
exactly.
It. Jason Argo would have taken a point before the game, which is, again, just echoing what you've just said. Poor refereeing decision to send off Carey to let Edinburgh back into the game. I think we've both kind of agreed it probably was... Certainly was two yellows, and we've sort of mentioned that that's poor on his part for allowing the referee to make the referee make a decision.
Yeah, like I said, with it being in such a short space of time, you're sort of still in the referee's mind that you've just been booked. I agree in a sense that we've been in a poor decision, because I sort of also feel that had it been 5 minutes later, he might have got away with a warning or a final telling saying, look, that is it. But yeah, I can't really have too much complaints with both the yellow cards, to be honest. Yeah. Put it this way, if that was an Edinburgh player, I'm saying both of them's a yellow card.
Graham McLean, great performance. Several man of match candidates. Danny Starkin, Ryan Dow, Michael Hewitt, Enoch played well. Great to have Andy McCarthy back, albeit for the bench. Referee was consistent, albeit consistently bad. I think we were the only two who seemed to think that the referee did okay.
Hey, I'm the first to criticise a referee. That's what I like doing. But I think the referee was that bad. He dished out a few yellows, but he was consistent. And as Graham said, they are consistently bad. That's maybe because we got the red card, but I generally didn't think either of them yellow cards were that bad, to be honest.
Finally, then Ian Cameron, he says Danny had his best game for the team so far. At least Jim has got his team playing great, and it's joy to watch. Today we deserve the win, and that kind of echoes in fact we were saying about Danny Starkin. Reasons why he didn't get much of a look in last season. But he's done well this season and is fairly consistent, and he certainly gives his all every game, and you can see his confidence starting to come back as well.
Yeah, he's a player that is always going to give 110% regardless of what position you play him in. We commented the other week he played in about four different positions just right across the park. It was almost like he was playing a game of chess. He just sort of moved diagonal right across the pitch and did a good job. I think he's one of them players that I spoke about right at the start, that he's improving because he's playing consistently. If you get him a run of games, he will do well, and he gave us that. There was one occasion we were base screaming on Saturday, and I can't remember who the ball, but Danny was open wide right, and we base screamed to play it wide, and he didn't. I generally can't remember what player it was now. But that's what I'm saying, he gives you that option going down that wing, and I think he's also got the pace to try and cover back as well. So I think he's a really good option at right back.
He's got the pace, he's got the defending going back the way. He can also obviously attack as well, but he's such a big lad as well. And I think as he sort of gets older as well, he'll maybe bulk up a little bit as well. And that'll just add to his game as well.
Yeah, I'm sure he will as he goes on and develops. He'll bulk out a bit, but I think at the moment he's still a good player, and I think he can only get better, to be honest.
And surprised by Jim's comments as well at the end of the game, saying that he's the only person that can drop him now is Danny if he plays a bad game, because he sort of played himself into that team now as well, and that can only give him a lift as well.
Yeah, that's credit to him, because you look at the players that have come in, he's been left on the bench, named the squad. And there's two ways you can look at it. You can either look at it from a player's point of view and say, right, okay, manager doesn't fancy me just now, I'll try and train him, but fit a point and stick him in the line. Or you can look at it the other way and go, right, okay, manager's not fancy me at the moment, I need to try and get myself back in the team. The only way I can do it is by playing well. And like I said, he played a game the other week. We mentioned it, he played a heap of different positions, got on with it, put in a good performance. He was playing the following week, and he's now getting that run of games where I think he can only get better, and that's credit to him for that mentality of just, keep going.
So a bit of optimism going into the next game then, which is going to be, as crucial a month as what October was. This next month in November, we've got Montrose away, Ayrshire away, and Dunfermline at home in the league. We've also got the Scottish Cup game as well. So, I mean, it does not get any easier. And I mean, this is obviously going to be a run, which is it could go from bad to worse. But as we said, there's a bit more optimism certainly going into the game against Montrose, and after their result on Saturday against Ayrshire, having gotten beat, I think it was 4-0 by Ayrshire, there's maybe just a little bit of optimism that we can maybe go down there and get something out of it.
Yeah, it's normally games that are really high scoring down there as well. So you're hoping that we come out in the right end of it. Normally a game that produces good goals. But like you said, yeah, I think there's a quiet air of confidence. Maybe confidence isn't the right word, but there's a more positive outlook going into Saturday's game than has been for quite a while. Like I said, I think the performance was good on Saturday, probably merited the 3 points. But you need that performance to continue into Saturday. No point putting in a performance like we did on Saturday and then, you know, putting in a half-hearted display against Montrose. So that level of standard has been set by a certain few players, and it's maintaining that now going forward.
They currently sit fifth in the table. They did win the previous game 2-0, having played the second half with 10 men after Rory McAllister got sent off. We haven't scored against them in our last five, so you know everything's set up, you know, to be against this. But as we said, you know, we're going into this game massive underdogs again, and if we can play to that standard again that we did, or even build on that, there's no reason why we can maybe come away with even a point of this game.
But it's using Montrose's result at the weekend in our favour as well. You know, you frustrate the crowd. We've mentioned it for the, you know, best part of 3.5 years now. You need to keep it tight going away from home in opening periods of the game, work your way into it. And we've got players that can adapt within the game now as well. A change of formation, if it's not quite working out what it is, and, you know, if Jim's willing to change, that's fine. So it's going down there, trying to be positive. I think before I'd have probably said, right, taking a point away at Montrose would be a good result, but hitting the way the league table is new, you're sort of having to look at these games and, you know, try and almost pounce on a team's poor form, like someone throws a poor result on Saturday. So you need to try and inflict more pain on them by going down there and getting a win.
No, jumping ahead to the Airdrie game, their win on Saturday was their first win in five games. I mean, they sort of slipped for second or third on the table to third bottom. You know, instead of chasing Kelty, we were chasing them. You know, we were 10, 11 points behind them. But as we said, we're now at a stage where, you know, draws aren't going to be good enough to try and catch 8th. And I think, you know, Clyde's 10 in a row, and now that they've 10 losses in a row that they've had, has maybe just eased the pressure a little bit on us.
Potentially, I still think we need to be doing more. It shows you that if you put together back to back wins, you know, it can normally propel you up the table, but it would put us right back in the mix. But it's getting that back to back wins, and that's the most difficult thing of putting together, you know, runs. Clyde's form will help us, but we need to start winning games ourselves.
Julian Carriel will obviously be suspended for it. Does that mean that you're looking at the team, and if Florin's still available, the one obvious change would be to bring in Andy McCarthy for Julian?
Yeah, I mean, that's something I was thinking about this earlier on in the day. Obviously, Andy played, you know, 15, 20 minutes on Saturday. Does he still need another game of coming on, you know, at the hour mark and playing the half hour, or is he ready to go for the word goal? You know, him and Jim will decide that throughout the week, I'm sure. But I certainly think if you've got a player Andy's quality, if you've got Florin as well to come in, you know, these are good players. We certainly do us nae harm, but I'm not sure if it might just be a week too early for him starting.
If it is a week too early, then I mean, the other obvious option would be to bring David Wilson back in and move Ryan Strachan back into midfield again.
Yeah, there is. I think there could also be an option for Hivsala. I mean, we've spoken about him for a while now. He's a good player, but for some reason or another, he's not in the squad. You know, could you get him in? Could you play him out wide and cutting inside? I certainly think that's an option as well. Moving Jack Brown back into midfield as well. So he's got options. It's just about picking the right ones.
And you know, the other guys on the bench as well. You know, Bucks Gillis was back in as well. He could come back into right wing back, maybe move Danny Strachan into centre half, which is something else that he's played before. But because he's playing so well at the moment at right wing back, you maybe then want to disturb that. We could even move Jack Wilkie into centre half and maybe put Max over to the left hand side.
I would certainly leave Danny at right wing back. I'm not sure about putting Max at left wing back. I think Jack Wilkie, okay, apparently the part of the Alloa game, didn't think he was that great, but I think he's done anything wrong. Again, leaves you with Jason Brown and Enoch in the centre halves. We spoke about this episode about, you know, players again understanding a little bit of consistency. So I think if you can try and name an unnamed an unchanged team, sorry, I think that would be the worst option. But again, if you've got Andy McCarthy to come in as well, that would be a bonus.
And hopefully there's no horror shows the late stage of Halloween week, and or as we approach a bonfire weekend, there's no fireworks. That's what
we're hoping for a spark. Is that what we're going for? Hoping for a spark in front of goal.
Hoping for a spark and something to spark the form and spark our season to get going forward.
Yeah, I mean we're now at that point where we're looking for something, and you are looking for something spectacular, and hopefully you can get it with 3 points at Montrose on Saturday.
Right, now it is that time where we get the opposition's perspective ahead of Saturday's game. Delighted to say I am joined again from the Montrose Supporters Club. It's Graham. Graham, good to have you back on again. How are you?
No bad. A wee bit down after Saturday. I was going to be in a wee bit of better mood after Airdrie, but it's certainly not going to be a ground I'm going back to again in a hurry, unfortunately.
A bit of a result that I don't think many folk would have seen coming.
Speaking to a few of the boys that I know of, Airdrie fans, they said that they've not been playing bad, you know, like shit. And it's one of those ones, you always know that a team's going to get a result at some point or another. But Saturday was, it was one of those ones that honestly looked as if the defence hadn't even met each other before the game. It was just, you know what, they took their chances, we just weren't at the races. And you know yourself, you can have a couple of boys maybe having a bad day, but when 10 of them have a bad day, you're kind of just like, you know, the proverbial against the wind sort of thing.
Does that mean that you'd expect a bit of a reaction then this coming Saturday?
I would say so, Colin, I would say so. One of those ones, you know, like I think they'll have had a rocket up them on Saturday, and obviously with training this week and stuff like that. And as the gaffer says, he always puts together a team for the Saturday and see what happens. But I would imagine there'll be a big reaction for that one. I know you're going to ask me for the score in a wee bit, so I'm going to have a wee think of that one. But I would imagine that there will certainly be a knee-jerk reaction from the players on Saturday.
Let's just touch on the previous game between the two sides then. You guys had won it 2-0. Played the whole of the second half with 10 men and ended up winning it pretty comfortably in the end. What was your kind of thoughts on that game and that and your performance overall?
More decent enough in the first half, you know, like I said, before Rory got sent off, I thought we played well. Good to see the young lad Matty Wright getting a goal, and he's kind of kicked on from there. Overall, it's like we said in the previous game, it's always stuffy up with you guys, you know, like, so for every reason. But I thought we moved the ball around. I'll be completely honest, when we got the penalty, we all thought it was a free kick, and then we saw, like, so Abby start high-fiving and the ball went on the penalty spot. It's like, just the view we're at there, you know, like, so. But I thought we managed the game well. I think that was the debut for the young Egyptian boy for you guys. And I thought, when he came on, he looked a player, you know. We've got quite a bit of experience in the team, which, you know, a few of the teams around us are sadly lacking tonight. So I think we've got good game management. Let's take away Saturday, but for the main part, you know, like, I think we can cope with these players, as has been shown against Falkirk and Fairman and stuff like that. You know, we've got the personnel in place, and I thought we managed the game well in the second half, and obviously nicking the second goal was just the wee icing on the cake.
You're sitting fifth in the table at the moment. Would you say that's probably about level par for you this season so far?
I would say so. I think there's probably been a couple of games, I would say, we never got to grips with Edinburgh City at home a few weeks back, which was unfortunate. You know, like I said, the pace that they've got going forward and stuff like that, they caught us a couple of times. And possibly Alloa away, I would be quite disappointed, but it seems to be that that's one of our bogey grounds nowadays as well. So probably fifth, you know, if Alloa hadn't scored that winner late on Saturday, we would have still been fourth. And I would say that I'd be happy enough with that just now, as we've still got the like new guys bedding in and seeing how they're going.
19 goals so far, is that maybe where you've maybe just been lacking a little bit, just maybe getting the firepower as maybe you should be compared to other teams, although defensively you've been quite good?
Yeah, like, say, it's one of those ones, as long as we're creating chances, you know, it's the age-old one. It's like watching Scotland recently, you know, let's create 40 chances and we'll win 1-0 sort of thing. There's still areas there, you know, we've been missing a Webby on the right-hand side. He's just making his way back from injury and stuff like that. And that's very much important side of our game down the right-hand side. And kind of having him missing out the last few, you know, last 6 weeks or so, it's kind of impacted us a wee bit here as well. So, you know, hopefully everyone back up firing. You know, like, obviously he's no set the heather alight yet, but, you know, they're still, he's getting into the right places and we're still waiting on Rory kind of sparking away sort of thing. But he certainly adds something in some, with the young guys at the club as well. The amount that they're learning off him is unbelievable, I would say.
I mean, it's the kind of game it's probably set up for him to get one or two goals. He just, obviously, apart from the last game where he did get sent off, but yeah, he seems to put in a performance against us.
Yeah. It's the age-old thing. Players coming back to haunt you, you know. Like, so there was Saturday, Cammy Ballantyne at right back. You know, like, he wasn't that great up us a few weeks ago when we beat Airdrie 4-2. But on Saturday, you know, like, so just everything ticked. He kind of was like, he remembered how to play against the boys that he'd been training with the last 4 or 5 years sort of thing. And it just clicked into place. And these things happen, you know, like, let's face it, you know, all the football for various reasons. But players coming back to haunt you certainly is one of the reasons that I love the game, like.
Hi. Obviously, we're sitting bottom. I think the vast majority of the teams and the fans will know how bad we've been, certainly at the start of the season. There has been a slight improvement. Are you expecting it to be a little bit more difficult game this time round?
I think so. Again, the age-old thing, adding loads of players into your squad, you know, you've got to give them time to gel and stuff like that. The one thing I would say is we are very good at home. You know, like, as I say, Dunfermline found that out the other week there. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And obviously Falkirk failed to score against us again, despite my supporter telling us that, like, so Montrose is always an easy win. Had to remind them that it's like 7 games now, mate. But there you go. I would definitely expect you to come out, you know, like, and play the game. And the one thing I would say, like I said, despite the fact that we're always going about the game's been quite tight and stuffy up at Balmore, some of the times at Links Park, it seems to be just like a total goals fest, you know, over the last few years, you know, so you never know what kind of game you're going to get. Obviously, the gaffers will probably want it to be nice and tight. Supporters want goals. So, yeah, I'm expecting a good game on Saturday. Really looking forward to it.
If you sort of go into this game and maybe you go into the half at 0-0, would there be a bit of anxiety amongst the team or amongst the fans? Or as you said earlier on, you know, there's enough experience to manage the game and just try and play it as it goes?
Well, the one advantage I would say, and we noticed it down at Clyde, we've noticed that in various games, even the Dunfermline game, the strength of our bench just now is absolutely unbelievable. You know, in years gone by, you'd maybe have a couple of experienced players and just teenagers. You know, like, so I think on Saturday, we looked at our bench, and you'd think to yourself, you could start. So I think we've seen it, the gaffer's no scared to make changes if it's not quite working out. Be it, you know, like, so the other teams being better defensively or anything. So you'll try different things. So I think I wouldn't panic straight away. I'd be more panicking if it was we're into the 80th minute and still nil and we've not really created anything. You start to feel it's not going to be our day. But yeah, on the whole, I would say I don't get too nervous at halftime these days. That's we'll leave it at that. It's not too bad.
So you know what my final question is going to be? You've had a little time to think about it. What is your score prediction going to be?
I'm going to go with the same score that I went with for up the road. I'm going to go Montrose 3-1.
3-1.
Aye.
Okay.
I think, like we were saying there, I think Rory will spark with something. I think, even if it's just the one, and as I say, with young Matty Wright and CJ as well, you know, in the ranks, I think we might just, and hopefully we'll be back in as well, I think we might just have a wee bit too much. But, you know, I'll be nice and give you the goal as well.
That's a good kind of you. And I know if Webby is back, he always seems to score against us as well. So if that's the case, it might well be 3-1.
oh, here's, you can't, like, say, he's been guaranteed to get back. You know, thankfully, it wasn't a serious injury. The thought is a serious is a thought. So, yeah, we could see him back in the starting lineup sooner rather than later, I think.
Hey, Graham, pleasure to have you back on again. Good to talk to you again. And hopefully, one of us is going to be smiling at the end of the game and we're not talking about a drab 0-0 or something after all the hype that we've had.
Did he say that now? No, here's hoping for it. And, you know, like I said, look forward to possibly seeing you on Saturday. Come.
Yeah, good man. Thanks again. Cheers.
Yeah.
And that is it for this Halloween edition of the Blue Toon Podcast. We do hope you have enjoyed it. Thank you to Graham from the Montrose Supporters Club for joining us and to Martin Smith for being here as always. And of course, a huge thank you to you guys for listening. I've been Colin Byers. We'll be back again next week. So until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.